Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you somehow didn't check out yesterday, swing yourself over there, check that out. It's still right there at the top of the page for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, so all right, Dan, the baseball season officially comes to an end last night with pretty much, you know, I would have to say just a whimper. It, you know, it really wasn't much of a game. You know, the Astros got up early and, you know, the Dodgers had some opportunities and couldn't get that big two-out hit. You know, I mean, it was sadly not even a very exciting game to watch after Houston got up 5-0, but you know, it's the seventh game of the World Series, so of course I stayed with it. You know, I know you kind of tapped out. Well, you made it through what, seven or eight innings, so you were pretty much to the end anyways, but I don't know, what did you think?
The Dodgers had the power to set it up, but they just couldn't knock them in. You know, and since their bats were silent, I mean, that calls for like a pitching coach or a first base or a third base coach to get. Hell, I mean, maybe just the guy who stands there and holds the, you know, a whistle, he should get fired for the hitting.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, yeah, that was their big, you know, big issue when you look at it. I mean, really. You know, only Jock Peterson and Logan Forsythe hit in the series. You know, I mean, Andre Ether did hit 400, but he was just a pinch hitter, so you can't really kind of count that. Yeah, it you know, I mean, it was rough. I mean, they had, you know, Justin Turner at three. He had a great year, hit 160 in the series. Cody Bellinger will probably be National League Rookie of the Year, hit 143 and literally seemed to strike out almost every at bat. You know, he had a rough, rough series, and you know, they just couldn't really put it together. So, but you know, the one question I kept thinking, you know, and I believe I actually tweeted it to you, and I know I asked Schomburg Stu about this. You know, Yu Darvish was bad. You know, he made two World Series starts. I mean, he stunk the place up, you know, in both starts. You know, he's going into free agency. Do you think this affects, you know, how a team looks at him? Because obviously there's a lot of teams who are going to want starting pitching out there. Do you think they would look at this and be kind of like, well, you know, it's didn't really work. What are we going to do here?
Teams in general, or I mean, are we talking Dodgers?
Any team. You know, because there's rumors that, you know, the Rangers were interested in bringing him back. You know, we know locally at the trade deadline, you know, his name was mentioned in association with the Cubs. Nothing happened. But, you know, you're looking at a guy, Dan, I found his stats here. He pitched 3 1/3 innings in two starts. Nine hits, nine runs, eight were earned. He gave up two bombs. He walked two guys, didn't strike out anybody. Ends up with an ERA of 21.60. So, you know, and I mean, you know, he had a really good regular season. I know he battled some injuries, you know, early on, but I believe he still wound up pretty solid. What you know, he ended up 10-12 with a 3.86 ERA. You know, you just wonder, he's 31. You know, I mean, is there a team out there that's going to throw 4 or 5 years at him at 20 plus million? I mean, are the Dodgers one of them? Are the Rangers one of them? Do you think somebody else who needs pitching jumps in? You know, how does this guy end up hanging out there? I mean, after just a terrible back-to-back performances.
Well, I definitely think it's going to happen because, not to draw you too far off topic, and we'll touch on it more, but the Angels just signed Justin Upton, who I believe is 29, to a 5-year, $106 million contract that goes through 2021. Which, did I say that right? 5 years? Whatever. Which is interesting to know that that is going to be the first contract that goes past Albert Pujols, who, wow, is still going to be going until 2020. So I definitely think he's going to get the money. It's just a matter of, I mean, you know, you and I tweeted back and forth about it. You know, you mentioned the Cubs were talking about it or maybe interested in it or, you know, rumored to be trading for him. But at the same token, do they look to sign him or stick with what they know?
All right, well, here, while you brought this...
I don't think they signed both.
While you brought this up, I pulled up, you know, our wonderful favorite, you know, off-season website, MLBTraderooms.com. They have the 50 top free agents with predictions on where they will sign. Now, the number one guy on their list is Yu Darvish. Are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
They say Yu will get 6 years and $160 million from, do we have a drum roll? Or do we just have the rim shot? I gotta look here. I think we got rid of the drum roll. All right. Well, from the Chicago Cubs.
Six years at 160, and he's 29 also?
Yeah.
Or he's 31?
Yes. 31. So that would be till he'd be 37. Now, you said they probably wouldn't sign both him and Arrieta. Arrieta is their fourth-rated free agent. They have him getting 4 years at $100 million from the Milwaukee Brewers.
Hmm.
So,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely an interesting prediction there, you know, on both cases. You know, that's a lot of money for the Brewers to be throwing around. You know, they normally don't do those kind of things. And yeah, I don't know. Do you see the Cubs going 6 years for a guy like Darvish, or does anybody go 6 years with that guy? I don't think I see it.
Just seems it's way too long for me. And I think the Cubs would have a better shot at, not a better shot, but, well, yeah, better shots going with Masahiro Tanaka or even sticking with Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, you would think, you know, I mean, I think I would rather stick with Jake, a guy I know. Mm-hmm. You know, like you mentioned Tanaka. I honestly don't think he's going to get away from the Phillies. Or from the Yankees, but they have him signing a 5-year deal worth $100 million with the Phillies. I don't see the Yankees letting him go, as you know, as close as they were last year, and you know, with what they, you know, with the money they have at their expense, I just don't see that happening. But You never know, right?
Yeah, they throw out some pretty far out there predictions.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking. They had a the Shohei Ohtani information at the bottom, but they don't really mention much of a prediction on where he's gonna go. I was a little disappointed in that. I thought maybe they would have a little more interest there on him. But yeah, it was funny when I saw that, and I was like, wait, they think Darvish is getting 6 years and all that money from the Cubs? I don't know if I don't know if I'm buying that one. I mean, I'm trying to really see. They have some other teams in the running here normally. They mentioned the Phillies, Nationals, Cardinals, Astros, and Twins. So
What is with them with the Phillies?
I
I
don't
guess the
know.
Phillies, it's time that they make the move.
Yeah.
They do have the offense, sort of, but theirs almost reminds me more of kind of a mixture of the Cubs and the Dodgers. You might get some great games out of them, but then you have like these days where they don't do anything.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, even if the Phillies start adding guys, I don't quite know if they're in any real type of position to win. I mean, I don't, you look at a guy like Tanaka and you got to think, okay, the Yankees were real close to winning. Why is he going to go to a team like the Phillies? I mean, they're not close. So I don't really see how that would kind of work out for him, but I guess I guess you just don't want to do the same old and say, well, the Yankees are going to get this guy, the Yankees are going to get that guy. So
Yankees are getting everybody.
yeah. But
They're saying
yeah, I
you,
mean it would
Tanaka,
out
Arrieta.
yeah. It would make sense for the Yankees to bring Tanaka back and then sign another guy. So I could see them being in a Arrieta or a Darvish like that. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But and then Lance Lynn is still out there. I think he's going to be kind of an under the radar guy after some of these other guys drop off the radar. So you can. I think you can find some guys, but yeah, Darvish was just the interesting one to me because, I mean, he was just so bad, and I mean, aren't you going to remember that as
Oh,
as you're looking at negotiations or if you're a team that wants to bring him in, because you damn well know the fans are going to.
I mean, that's all I'm going to think about.
Yeah. I mean, that's
So
because, I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, he was the reason they lost the World Series last night. I mean, he gave up the runs. He couldn't get anybody out. And I know nobody's ever going to point blame and say this and that, but you can lay it all at his feet and he's just got to accept it, right?
pretty much.
And obviously, the hitters get a little blame for not coming through big with two outs, but that's a difficult spot, and boy, he didn't have it. I mean, Matt God. And remember, their plan was he was supposed to go, what, three innings, wasn't it?
Yeah. They went inning and two thirds, and Morrow took a
Yeah.
third of an inning for a pinch hit, and Kershaw came in.
Yeah,
Good
not,
point.
Morrow ties the record by appearing in all seven World Series games. So, good luck.
Well,
Too bad he's not a free agent. Cash in big.
yeah. And I wouldn't put the whole blame on obviously the batting coach or the players themselves, but John Smoltz brought up a huge point that, these guys are brought into the league now thinking in situations like they were in to not so much push the ball, but to swing for the fences.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it
Yeah.
definitely hurt. You know, it hurt the Dodgers yesterday because they didn't have any real situational hitting prowess. You know, their guys just didn't know how to do it. And, you know, we can thank sabermetrics for that because it really took away all that stuff. And, you know, I mean, it cost them some opportunities to score some runs, but, you know, that's one of those things. It'll never come up. You know, no, nobody will ever bring that up. It'll just be like, oh, yeah, they didn't do this or they didn't do that. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. This is actually why. So.
It's because their war wasn't high enough, that's why.
Yeah. You know, their BABIP was too low or something like that. But humorously, Dan, you know, they always do this. Right away, the odds are out for next season on who will win the World Series. So if you get your money ready, you can see. Let me see if they say who released these odds. This is Westgate Las Vegas Sportsbook. They have the Dodgers as the favorites at 5-1. You can get the Indians or the Astros at 6-1, the Nationals at 7-1, the Yankees at 8-1, and the Red Sox and the Cubs are 10-1.
Those would be the
So,
teams you want to put
and
the
then
money on a couple of those times.
if you're a real gambler here, Dan, you can get the Detroit Tigers right now at 300-1. So. But yeah, that's where they're rolling at right now. Those are some of the, you know, some of the guys. I mean, there's some others. The Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals are all 20-1. You know, if you like some of them, I'm really surprised the Mets are up there. I guess they're expecting their pitching to get healthy. And then there's the Rays, the Blue Jays, the Mariners, and the Brewers at 40-1. And then the other playoff team, the Rockies are, or that group was 30-1. The Rockies are at 40-1. So there's some of your odds if you're a gambling man and or woman, and you didn't have, you know, 13 or 14 million to bet on game seven, and sadly you picked the Dodgers and all that money went away. How do you think that
Okay.
guy's feeling today? Yeah, he had the Dodgers last night.
Is he still alive?
So yeah, I don't know. That I haven't heard that report yet. I was kind of wondering that myself. How would you be feeling if you lost? You know, I heard two different reports. One said 14, one said 13. How would you be feeling if you had won six games in a row and you were letting it all ride and you went with the Dodgers and you lost that money, Dan?
I guess you could write a book on how you were once a millionaire
How
for a
you were a
day.
millionaire for a day, yeah. However it works out. So, would your wife leave you if you did something like that?
Don't know. Probably.
Yeah. So, that would you know, that would be one of those oddly odd things you'd have to deal with there. But yeah, he went with the Dodgers. I mean, you know, not a bad choice. I mean, they looked like. You know, after the game six win, it kind of looked like things were turning their way. You know, and obviously the home team, you know, that kind of funky stuff. But yeah, whatever reason, or, you know, sometimes those things just don't work out. And yeah, it cost this guy a whole lot more than it cost you and I. So, all
Yeah,
I can
well,
say, Dan, is
I
I'm just
got to work.
glad it was.
Oh, well, my wife finally woke up. I just got a text that said, I won.
Yeah, that's right. She had the Astros, didn't she? So, you know, yeah, that you poor guy. Those kind of things happen. So, but so what's the first thing you're looking forward to now that the off season is started?
To see who signs You, Darvish.
Yeah, I'll be
Well,
interested to see how that kind of rolls out.
no, it'll, kind of be jumping into hockey. I wish they started later, but then again, their playoffs already go long as hell. It'll be
Yeah.
exciting to kind of get back into hockey again, catch the Hawks. But with the Hawks actually being in the division west of the Mississippi, I'm sure you and I will be watching a lot more East Coast hockey. It starts at 6 and I at 9.
Yeah. And then, you mentioned the Justin Upton signing. It was 5 years. You were correct. The Red Sox made three moves. They picked up the options on Chris Sale's contract and Craig Kimbrel's contract. And then they hired Tony La Russa, a special assistant to the vice president. So
I thought he worked for somebody else.
he was working for the Diamondbacks, but he had resigned, I think, right after the playoffs, after they got eliminated by the Dodgers. So
I just assumed he has doesn't even it's just he should just be hired by Major League Baseball themselves instead of teams, but I just find it interesting how he just kind of continues to get those jobs.
yeah, so yeah, it's just one of those,
I mean, who
one of
better?
those situations. Yeah, I mean, I you know he's just he's the Diamondbacks improved while he was there. Again, I don't really know, what a special assistant does, or what they have these guys do. And they describe it here as he will assist Dave Dombrowski in all areas of baseball operation, including player development and consultation with major and minor league coaching staffs. So,
Well, I guess it's just good to
yeah.
have him in your system. I'm surprised he hasn't obtained the money or gotten together with a group to buy a team. But to me, it seems like
Yeah,
he would get sick of that. I think he would get sick of that because he ever since he stopped coaching, he seems to kind of go from team to team just to make the game all around better or the league all around better.
Maybe that's just what he likes to do, is bounce around. He doesn't want to be tied down with, just one team. So, but all right, we gotta move on here, Dan. We gotta get the football talk in here. Now, we do have the Thursday night game, and I know you're not gonna believe this, Dan. I actually hope you're sitting down. But Mr. Fantasy has already sent me his selection.
Whoa.
Yeah. So big shock there. I normally don't get it until genuinely right before kickoff. Tonight we're getting the we get the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. I don't remember who the home team is. I'm drawing a blank there. But I gotta. I gotta come on, Google Sheet, work faster. Come on,
I
so I
thought
can see
the
everybody's pick
Jets
here.
were
There we
around.
go. They might be. I honestly don't know. I'll check in a minute here. I won't put Mr. Fantasy's pick in. But as it turns out, he is going to be the only one to take the Jets tonight. As you, me, and Stu are all gonna side with Buffalo and their new wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin. So we will see how that kind of works out for all of us. Hopefully we can beat him down and get that roll in. But yeah, tonight's the I believe it's the first night that the game isn't also telecast on CBS. It's strictly an NFL Network game. And you were correct. The Jets are home. It's the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. So we have that going. Again, it's Dan, Stu, and I with Buffalo tonight, and Mr. Fantasy on his own with the Jets. But we had some big time quarterback news, Dan. The reports are, and I don't believe this has been confirmed yet, but Adam Schefter is reporting it, and it's pretty done deal then. Deshaun Watson tore an ACL at practice, and he will miss the remainder of the season.
Well, there goes that.
So, yeah, after his fantastic effort last week and, you know, the Texans 3-4 hanging around in a bad division, you know, that AFC South isn't very good. You know, they were just a game out of first place. They signed Matt McGloin to come in and be the backup. But my guess is, you know, obviously they're probably going back to Tom Savage, you know, who got to play about a half a quarter before he was replaced by Watson. I want to double check their depth chart here real quick and make sure that he's the next guy on it, so I'm not giving people poor information. Yeah, there he is, good old Tom Savage. So that's what they're going. Apparently, yeah, they were just, the report I heard was they were running their normal offense, and Watson went to do their read option and went down, and that was it. So his rookie season is over. You know, Savage was a 7 of 13 for 62 yards before he got the hook in that first game.
Oh, that's more passes than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. I'll have to email Schomburg Stu and ask him if he would like to change his pick. They are playing the Colts this Sunday. They are at home, so we'll have to see how that kind of shakes things out. But
that's hard because Luck is injured too.
Yeah, well, that was the other quarterback news, is Luck was put on IR today, and he is done for the season as well. So it's a game where two starting quarterbacks are both done for the season. So that's kind of how that is going to work out. But what I was interested in here, Dan, you know, like I said, they signed Matt McGloin, who was the Raiders backup. He does have a start or two under his belt, you know, back when the Raiders were a bad team before Derek Carr came rolling into town. You know what name I'm going to give you here, Dan, because his skill set is incredibly similar to Deshaun Watson's. Why was this not the time to bring Colin Kaepernick in? You know, I mean, this is a team with a shot at the playoffs. Again, I mean, you know, we're looking, I mean, these guys are very relatively mirror images of each other. It probably would have been a much more, you know, quality signing bringing a guy like McGloin in. I don't know. I mean, did that thought ever cross your mind, or am I just the goof who's like, man, this guy's a great fit here?
Forget him. I keep forgetting about him, to be honest, if he's not in the league. But you've got to wonder, with a guy, do you want to sign a guy who's filed a grievance with the NFL for not having a job? And,
yeah.
You know, with Houston and Indianapolis, I mean, do you want to be that team that signs that guy? I mean, it's alleged that, you know, ratings are down and all that stuff is down, and the look upon the NFL has kind of taken a negative turn. Do you want to add to that, being more or less, I wouldn't want to say a fledgling team, but, I mean, they're not in major markets. I think a major market team would be able to bring him in and spin it a little better.
Well, here you go. I just found this on profootballrumors.com. Texans owner Bob McNair, it says here, has not given coaches the green light to audition Colin Kaepernick. So apparently right now the owners have said no.
Yeah, well, and I guess I forgot that one.
Yeah.
But we even think he would be one to let him in, you know, to sign him.
Yeah. Now, here's Matt McGloin's career numbers for you, Dan. He's played in 13 games. He's made 7 starts. He's 1-6 in those 7 starts. He's got a 58.1 completion percentage, thrown for 1,868 yards. He has 11 touchdowns and 11 career interceptions. That's what the Texans are getting as their backup quarterback instead of Colin Kaepernick.
Yay.
So, you know, and again, this is a team.
I would kind of do what Baltimore did and go to the fans and see what they think.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, this is a team that, they're in playoff contention. Kaepernick has playoff experience. He did, quarterback a team that went to the Super Bowl. They did lose, but he did still quarterback that team to the Super Bowl. That all still counts regardless. And, at some point, I mean, do you have to stop trying to bite your nose off to spite your face and just, give this guy a shot? I mean, we saw Tom Savage in the first game and we kind of know what's going on there. Matt McGloin really isn't the answer. It's not like he's going to come in and take over. I don't know. I mean,
here's the other thing. I mean, we're roughly 12 weeks into the NFL season. Don't take that counting preseason, which doesn't count anyway, but it takes them roughly the first 8 weeks, including preseason, to get acclimated. So if you're talking just even the first 8 weeks, do you think he'll be in form? I know he went to the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but he's the next best thing to basically a guy coming off the street. Is he going to be prepared? Is he going to be prepared?
They just pulled McGloin off the street. He wasn't with anybody else. it's kind of, the same deal. And, I know, a lot of teams, this wouldn't be a fit. I mean, when the Patriots were looking for a backup quarterback, he doesn't fit what the Patriots do. I understood them going the Brian Hoyer route. That made really good sense. But, you watch Watson play, and that skill set is just very reminiscent. I mean, Tom Savage can't run the read option. He's not a mobile quarterback. Matt McCloy is the same thing. He's not a mobile quarterback. Colin Kaepernick is.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously here it looks like more it's a hold up with the owner than it is, possibly the team. Because, I'm guessing it appears as though the coaches asked if they could bring him in for a tryout, and the owner hasn't given them permission yet. So, I don't know, maybe a loss on Sunday or a couple losses in a row and he's realizing he made a mistake?
Possibly. Again, I think it's something you go to the fans with because that's who you're affecting. I mean, yeah, you want to win. Yeah. It should be number one. But, with that kind of thing, if we bring in Kaepernick, are you still going to support us? That's why the owner is the businessman. He's got to deal with that. Are you going to let our business drop 12% approximately because of this boycott? And this is the thing that gets me even more though, is the rumor is that Kaepernick would no longer kneel if he was given a starting job. And I mean, if you could work that out and get him in and do that, and I have no better way of saying this other than it kicks everyone in the nuts that's kneeling if he is to come back into the game.
Yeah.
So while you've got all these guys that want him to, all these guys kind of following suit for what he started, if he were to come back in and stand for the national anthem in the first game, he can kneel after that. But if he stands just that one time, he pretty much, like I said, kicked everyone in the nuts that's been doing it. So, either way you look at this, it's like, which way do you go? Which way do you go? And then for him to even, and I don't even know if he said this, I didn't even want to read it. Cause I'm like, I don't even want to get into it. But if that is the case, if he goes that route, it pretty much implies that you were right. I mean, I kind of just jumped on your bandwagon when you said it, that it was awfully convenient that his kneeling started after he lost the job. So, I mean, there's a lot of ramifications that I don't think everyone realizes that go around with him getting another job. I think he's got to do something, though, to put him a little bit in the brighter light of the country and stuff like that. I don't know if he can save his reputation.
You know, and I wonder, you know, at this point, is he still the face of these protests? You know, I mean, if you were to bring him in, is he still the guy? You know, because we've kind of talked about this over and over, how I don't believe a lot of people even remember what we're protesting for, and until it's finally brought up, or somebody reminds us and says, hey, you know, this is why we're doing this, or however, blah blah blah, those kind of things. It's just if he's really the guy, I mean, do they look at him and go, oh yeah, this guy, you know, depending on what side you're on, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, oh yeah, this guy, blah, 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 you know, I hate this guy, or I like what this guy's doing, or, vice versa. Again, you know, whatever side you appear to be on, it's up to you. But yeah, I'm just not quite sure. And I think, if he was, okay, so he signs with the Texans, it takes him obviously a little bit to get ready. You know, say he started next week and they won. Would winning cure these ailments? You know, I mean, if he goes and gets the Texans in the playoffs, you know, is that one of those things that, you know, could that be a big enough deal to where, he's this guy and he's protesting this, or however it works out, but we're winning with him. You know, you got to remember, San Francisco lost, you know, and now you look at the Texans' remaining schedule. They're home against Indy. That's a very winnable game. They got to go to Los Angeles to play the Rams. That's going to be a tougher game. I'm not sure if they could win that. They're not going to win it with Tom Savage as quarterback. Then they host the Cardinals. They can beat the Cardinals. They're at home. They're at the Ravens. They can beat the Ravens. I'm not sure if they can beat the Titans. That's a road game. They're home against San Francisco. They can beat San Francisco. They're in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's been really good this year. That's probably a loss. They host Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh is up and down. You never know. And then they go to Indianapolis, who's a bad team. So there's four or five wins on that schedule, but not with Tom Savage as your quarterback. So, you know, Dan, would winning change your, if you were a Texans fan, would winning change your opinion of Kaepernick if he was brought in and they won?
Possibly, if he cut his hair.
You know, I mean, I mean, if he comes in and gets them into the playoffs, you know, he comes in and they're a playoff team with him as their quarterback, does that start to change fans' minds? You know, they don't mind the kneeling so much because they're winning?
Possibly, but, you know, I think, you know, you asked if everyone remembers why they're kneeling. I don't think anyone's forgotten that it was he who started it. And, you know, guys like my father-in-law who served in the military, you know, you've got flip sides to it where you've got guys like my father-in-law who served in the military or in the army, I believe it was, who straight up just don't even watch the NFL. I'm like, well, the Bears aren't doing it. You know, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, no one on the Bears has kneeled as far as I know. Hasn't been any talk in Chicago about the team, you know, guys here, but he refuses to watch it. But, you know, you kind of get political with it and you go with Jesse Ventura, who is a Navy SEAL, you know, kind of high up there when it comes to that kind of stuff. And, you know, he feels that they have the right to kneel because, what do you call it? You know, he feels that they have the right to kneel because that's what they fought for, you know, the Army and all that good stuff, you know, part of the amendments. I'm losing my mind right now, but, you know, so it goes flip side, but I think the people who are protesting or, you know, boycotting it more so are just going to continue to boycott it no matter what. So
yeah.
Like you said, you know, and I guess I'm kind of going back and forth with it. I'm not even trying to play devil's advocate. But like you said, when it comes to the Texans owner, a couple more weeks and they lose to crappy teams. I mean, even if they had the Bears in the second week and they were going to lose another game, yeah, maybe it does, you know, look like a mistake. But I think the mistake is not allowing them to bring him in just to take a look at him. Because I could see not wanting to jump on him right away because of, you know, not being in football shape. But like you said, the other guys kind of pulled off the street. But you got to wonder with him if he's been, you know, continuing football activities. Well, you have to wonder that about Kaepernick,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, like I've seen the veterans who are upset they're protesting and then the guys who are, you know, okay with it. I mean, it seems to be something that's pretty split down the middle as,
yeah.
You know, kind of the way some of this has went. And, I don't know. Again, you know, like I've said many times on here, I don't support them kneeling. I don't like it. That's just my opinion. But I support their right to do it. You know, like Jesse Ventura said, that's part of the reason, you know, why this country is what it is. You're allowed to have these opinions.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it works. It's just how it works here. So yeah, I don't know. I just, I think it would be interesting.
If you even watch a little glimmer of world news, just going to South America, I believe it was Venezuela. I mean, they're protest. They're trying to get food, and here we are kneeling over what someone, you know, is filing as an injustice. Which I mean, I think the real injustice is the fact that. It's not so much a race thing. It's a class thing, you know, regardless, we don't have the caste system that you're not supposed to bring up when you're in India, like they have in India, but at the same token, once you hit that level, I mean, things change, you know, you've got that money, you're the people with the money and then the people without the money. And then the rest of us in the middle class. I mean, at the same time, you know, in America, yeah, you have the right to kneel. But look at Spain. You know, Spain is tore apart with the Catalina. I can't, you know, they're trying to feed in independence. And all their leaders have left the country because they're going to be arrested. You know, the police have shut them down. So I can see where, you know, some of the people in the military get a little upset about it because, you know, many parts of the world, you don't agree with it. Well, you get arrested, killed, you know, the worst things in the world can happen to you. We're here. It just seems like they're crying over spilt milk, you know, and that's the other thing, like you mentioned, you don't get behind it, but like we've discussed too, of all the people that they list kneeling and all that good stuff, we don't really hear anybody doing anything. We don't, you know, yeah, you use your platform, the NFL, but with the way the world is today, YouTube is a huge platform. And I don't see any of these guys that are kneeling going on YouTube or going on, you know, their own personal websites and putting out videos and starting movements or doing anything to change. All they're doing is kneeling. So that's, I think, part of the reason I can't get behind it either.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I, you know, it's one of those things where I haven't really delved into the situation. I mean, I understand what Kaepernick was originally doing. I knew why he was kneeling and what he was trying to bring attention to. But, you know, like the Texans kneeled last week or did whatever they did because they were mad at their owner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I don't really kind of get that. I'm like, okay, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, because I don't know if he misspoke or he didn't understand, or, you know, it is the possibility that he's just an old man and he thought it was okay to say what he said, you know, because obviously older people, you know, I mean, it's so different in the time I was raised that I'm nowhere close to Bob McNair's age. So, you know, imagine what it was like when he was growing up. So, yeah, okay, they got their point across, you know, now, you know, it's, you know, so you kneel this week and wait, why are you kneeling? You're doing what?
Yeah.
You
like
know,
I
wait,
said,
what's,
crying
you know,
over
just, please, you know, right. You know, tell me what it's for, but what I would love to know is tell me what you're doing about it. Are you really bringing attention to the cause, or are you just bringing attention to the kneeling? Because, like, I don't really hear anybody talk about the cause, but I hear them talk about people kneeling.
Exactly, and that's why the NFL has – I don't know if it's the NFL, you know, that's completely advised the network to just not even show it. But, you know, oh, we're mad at what the owner said because we didn't like it, but we still want that paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
So explain to me how you're making a difference because you didn't like what the owner said and you felt it was derogatory. So you want to prove a point. Hell, why couldn't we see the first forfeit? Which, you know, then my really crappy fantasy team wouldn't have had the most spectacular week it's ever had with Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller. But you want to stick it, quote, to the man, all you did was kneel, and you still got paid. So you're not sticking it to anybody.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the funny thing is, like, there were reports that they were going to, you know, they were going to hold out. They weren't going to show up to the game. And I didn't believe that for a second that these guys would actually blow off, you know, a game check like that. You know, it was, mm-hmm. there was no possible way they were, you know, they were going to do that. I mean, okay, you know, you want to try to sell us or however you want to do it. Great. But it ain't happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
and I mean,
no chance to tell that was happening.
This is the same league of players that, you know, wants to kneel because of injustice, but, you know, not all of them, but they have the biggest laundry list: lawbreakers, drugs, guns,
yeah,
murder, domestic violence. I mean, it's become more or less an oxymoron. Like, what are we fighting for? What's the cause? What's the point? Because a lot of these guys, you know, go in the off season and, you know, hanging out and where they shouldn't be and carrying illegal weapons and, you know, still doing that kind of stuff. So where is the injustice? Because you're continuously playing with it on the wrong side of it. So, I mean, I don't know where to go with it. It's like, but I'm not the biggest NFL fan to begin with. And that's why the World Series and baseball was, you know, my thing. And, you know, let's be honest, the players and the owners couldn't come to an agreement in 94, and it soured me for a while. I didn't watch the game for a few years.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, like, when these collective bargaining agreements come up, you know, the fighting makes me laugh because, you know, it's billionaires fighting with millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have to understand that the general public has absolutely no care because, you know, there's people out there making 10, 15 bucks an hour trying to get by, you know, on their jobs. They don't want to listen to, you know, a star, no matter what sport it is, cry about the fact that he needs more money, because let's face it, they don't. So, yeah, I'm interested to see when the NFL CBA expires, how that works out. You know, if they end up on strike, or how, you know, how this topic kind of plays out, because, you know, you've got to, you know, you got to kind of wonder, you know, if the owners will try to get something done. But, you know, to that point, I know we talked about this yesterday, or it might have been 2 days ago, I don't remember. But you brought up the thing about Papa John's blaming the NFL for their dip in sales. Did you see that Pizza Hut countered them and reported that their sales rose 5.5% in the same quarter Papa John's lost?
That's where all the Papa John's sales are going.
Yeah. So, again, you know, it's probably not an issue of being the NFL's fault. It's nice that you can blame them for it, of course, because, you know, everybody needs a scapegoat. But it's definitely more, you know, of a Papa John's thing. So, yeah, I thought that was hilarious when I, you know, I saw that. I was like, oh, well, you know, there's somebody's making money, and I guess apparently it's not Pizza Hut. So... or not Papa John, sorry. But yeah, I thought that was kind of cute that they, you know, they were just like, hey, all right, hey, we're doing fine. What are you guys talking about? What's your problem there?
But you know, to lighten it up a little bit, I do have to ask, since I forgot about it yesterday. You were off this week. You take a little vacay. Did you stop and get your free taco yesterday?
No, you know, I forgot. I was out and I drove right by and I forgot all about it. So, I didn't do it last year. I wanted to do it this year and I just completely forgot.
I do feel like they tried to minimize the damage or loss that they could have obtained from these tacos from 2 to 6. I mean, because number one, I wouldn't eat it anyways. I'm not a fan of Taco Bell. But my wife would have, and I'm sure the baby would have tried it and snacked on it a little bit. So, I, you know, of course, I was wondering if we would have gotten 3, granted, you know, a baby and 2 adults. But, you know, we don't even get off the train until after 6, you know, on our commute. So I just found it interesting that they... managed to get, you know, put it in that zone, or I think 3 of 7 would have been a little better. Yeah, you know, cause you got to figure that first hour, all the kids are in school, you know?
Yeah. Well, you figure they're probably putting it at their slowest time, you know, mm-hmm. So this way they're going to, you know, up sales for that, you know, that amount, you know, or that time. And then was there I don't remember. Was there a purchase necessary to get the free taco? Did you have to buy something else?
I don't think so. I do think it was only the Doritos Locos taco. I don't think it was.
Yeah, I know. It's only one kind. Yeah, you don't get your choice of which one you want. They tell you which one you're getting. So.
But, yeah, and you're right. I mean, I know at the same point, you know, you can't just go to Taco Bell and have one taco.
Yeah, you know, does one taco even, you know, well, maybe it fills your daughter up because she's small, but yeah, I would just kind of laugh. I would, but else, so, you know.
Well,
just,
let me get a burrito, you know. I don't think they have burritos, but, you know, all that other stuff.
Well, you know, and I'm sure, you know, obviously that's the object, you know, you get a, you know, they get you in there to give you something free and then you spend your money, you know, on a drink or on whatever, you know, whatever else you're going to do. But yeah, you know, my stupidity cost me. I drove right by there right about 2 o'clock, actually. I was on my way home from driving out of Cook County to buy soda, and then I was coming back that way because I still have to do that for a month. You know, that tax doesn't expire till December 1st. So
yeah.
I'll probably have to make it one trip or something like that to stock up one more time. But yeah, I drove right by it and I forgot all about it. And I think I saw the commercial. They kind of recapped it yesterday, I think, at one point in time. And I was like, oh, damn it, I forgot. So yeah, stupid me.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a next
year. Should have rolled myself. Yeah, you know, I'm sure somewhere along the line somebody will steal a base, hopefully, you know, and we'll get a, you know, get a shot to do it again. I'm sure the promotion works really well for them. So, you know, I would be surprised if they'd stop doing it, unless, of course, they're losing money like Papa John.
To kind of get maybe not so down, but not so negative, I've heard flip-flop reports on Keith Hernandez. Good old Hernandez. Do you think he's back in the booth with no issues next year, or, you know, back with Fox because of the what was said to be a homophobic comment?
Yeah, I don't remember what he alleged. Yeah, I don't remember what he allegedly said. I forget. There's so much of this going around. I can't.
Right. And, you know, sensitivity is at the all-time high. Big Papi did the, well, what if Yasiel Puig comes up to you and tries to lick you and does the, and he goes, hey, this is L.A., it's not San Francisco. And I think, you know, maybe it was a bad timing joke. Unfortunately, something you can only say with you know, with the boys, not even in a public setting anymore, in your basement. God forbid you make any kind of joke. You know, but then of course the thing was, oh, well, it's Fox, so they'll probably sign him to a 10-year multi-million-dollar deal.
I mean, was that really, a homophobic gesture? You know, I think we overreacted a little. I think we, I can't even say it. That's how my day's been going, or my, you know, my week. But yeah, I think we overreacted a little bit there on that one. I mean, you know, it's nothing, you know, that it was nothing. I think they just let it go. I know he had the apology. You know, I was trying to remember who it was. You know, there wasn't I think it might have been, was it Rick Sutcliffe, or maybe it was one of the guys I know on one of the games. He called an interview with a good friend of his, and he used the term Polak. And then when they came back from commercial break, he had to apologize for it. And it was like, really? You're kidding me. You know, the guy actually is Polish. There's no, you know, no hurtfulness at all in that. It's, you know, didn't tell a joke, didn't tell anything, you know.
Yeah,
so yeah, we're way out of control when it comes to this stuff. So, but all right, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But hey, we'll come back tomorrow at 5:30 and meet you here to do it all again. You know what to do while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out what goes on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We'll always talk to you. We don't mind. Big thanks for coming on and listening to us live, though. We appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com.